Ahoy hoy, everybody. Welcome to a very special episode of the Untitled Gaming Podcast. My name is Pat. Today we're joined by Rick, Zach, and a very special guest, Jasmine from I Can Help.
Hi.
Is it hashtag I Can Help or just I Can Help?
Just I Can Help.
Okay. All right.
Easy. The hashtag is in there, though. We should make that perfectly clear. The hashtag is in there.
Just assume everything has a hashtag if we're talking.
Yeah, exactly.
If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. We're a gaming podcast that aims to entertain as well as inform. We discuss the week's biggest gaming news, game reviews, impressions, and talk about the gaming industry in general. Of course, we don't only discuss games. Today, we'll be discussing something a little bit more serious. Positivity in gaming. That may sound like an oxymoron, but it actually is.
Coming from you, which is why it's so difficult to like believe that this is the topic.
What's the implication there?
Nothing. I've never had an issue with you when we're good gaming together.
I've had many issues with you, but we'll save that for a different podcast.
That's every podcast. That is every podcast.
That is true. But anyway, let's jump right into it. So Jasmine, you are from I Can Help.
Yeah.
Why should we listen to you? What is your gamer cred?
Well, you guys should listen to me because while I'm also a PR intern at I Can Help, I'm also an esports marketing ambassador at the HyperX Esports Arena in Las Vegas. So naturally, I've always been surrounded by a lot of nerds and like gamers. Like I myself am a very casual gamer, but I also cosplay. So naturally, I've just always been just in depth with nerdy stuff. And my experiences with gaming have been very interesting, especially as a girl. So it's something I feel very strongly about, even though I consider myself a very casual, laid-back gamer.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite games?
I really like Breath of the Wild and Ocarina of Time. Like, I'm kind of a casual.
Ocarina of Time, you instantly have gamer cred. All right.
Yeah. That game is so hard, but I just love it. I love the storyline. It's just, it's a classic, you know?
Yeah. Just modernized 3D gaming. I mean, I guess technically that was Mario 64, but come on, we all know Zelda's better.
Zelda just kind of perfected it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What have you been playing recently?
So recently I've been like playing Catherine and a bit of Smash, and I'll play some Overwatch too. I don't know, I'm kind of all over the place.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's good to have that spectrum of gaming, for sure.
What about you guys? What have you guys been playing so far or recently?
Who wants to go first? Whose list is
we're not gonna go super in depth of what have you been playing, but just recently I've been playing Ratchet and Clank on PS5, and you will hear my full impressions on our next full episode. I'm gonna tear that game apart.
You don't need to do that. You don't need to go into it with that kind of mindset.
In a very positive way, I will tear that game apart. Zach, what have you been playing?
So I have been playing some Formula One, and I've been playing Mass Effect 1 and The Last of Us Part 2. So trying to get through all of those things. There's way too much on my plate right now in terms of gaming. There's so much catching up to do. So I'm struggling a bit.
Rick, what about you?
Well, in about 3 weeks, my son will be here. So I've been... Yeah, his name is Link.
Oh my gosh, he's so cute.
So I've been kind of beating as many games as I possibly can. So this, you know, past couple weeks, I beat like Resident Evil 8, Mass Effect 1, Final Fantasy 7 on Windows. I have a big old list. I finally beat Control.
Nice.
Yeah. And then I got bored. So I decided to start a gaming franchise that I never beat a single game of, which is all available on Xbox Game Pass called Gears of War.
Okay. Nice.
Nice.
Oh, I also beat the Call of Duty campaign. So I've been busy.
Zach's allergic to Call of Duty.
Sorry.
Trying to be professional here, Zach.
I'm sorry.
All right. So, yeah, let's get back onto the topic at hand, positivity in gaming. Jasmine, why don't you tell us a little bit about I Can Help? What is the organization? What's their mission statement?
Yeah, so essentially I Can Help is a nonprofit organization that educates and empowers students to create positive online experiences and communities. And so our mission is pretty much just to teach students and young people how to be change makers online and to promote digital safety and positivity, because we're the first generation to really deal with like social media and like the internet kind of in this way. And a lot of people don't know how to handle it or what to do with it. So our organization pretty much seeks to teach people how to be awesome online.
Yeah, very, very noble cause. And especially the generation growing up right now is the first generation to have all the internet and social media and stuff available at such a young age.
Like, yes.
My nephew is like 9 and he has a phone. So it's like everybody else, like the internet was around when you've already developed like social interactions in the real world and stuff. So definitely it's a good to start young and
yeah,
go that way. All right. So gaming is pretty positive, right?
No way.
What do you mean? I've never had a negative experience ever.
Online is pretty much always terrible. Literally any game you can think of, there's going to be places where you find just the most toxic people on it. So it's gotten to the point where like this most recent generation, I've just started to avoid game chat. I'll just do like a party chat if I'm with some friends, and if I'm not, then I just won't even plug in my headset. What about you guys? Is that similar to what you guys have been doing? Or
yeah, I like refuse to interact with the chat. I get so scared. Like whenever I have, like I've been harassed and stuff, and my hands start shaking when I play. Like I just can't do it.
Yeah, especially being a woman, I'm sure that's you have to deal with a lot more shit than we do.
Yeah, especially even like with usernames. Like a lot of girls will try to avoid having feminine sounding usernames now, just to avoid that kind of harassment.
Yeah,
I've like tried to like. I've risked it a couple times and like being in the game chat, and it never ends well. You know, like sometimes like you'll find those like gems of like solid game chats where like everyone's just kind of like having a good time and it kind of restores your faith like a little bit, but that only lasts so long.
Yeah. There's always the one person who just
starts coming in for no reason. Yeah. And that never lasts very long. So it's not something I do very often. I'll have like the headset plugged in, like if I'm playing a shooter or something where I need to like hear like my surroundings and stuff like that, but I'll have my mic muted. I'll typically mute everyone else just so I don't have to deal with it.
Yeah, definitely. Rick, anything you want to add there?
As far as like online chats, as you guys know, I tend to play more single player games. That's my style. When I have played online games, even just like the chat itself, I just remember it was like Halo days or Call of Duty days, just like people having music on and yelling at their mother. And it's all just very, very annoying. So I tend to just turn off the chat unless I'm playing with you guys. And then we have our own private chat, which is great. Yeah. But yeah, I've also ran into a few negative experiences online, but I'm sure we'll get to that eventually.
Yeah, let's start with the examples of the negative, because why not? So last year, Red Dead Online, right after George Floyd's death and the protests nationwide, modders or hackers or whatever you want to call them, started posting hate messages, but like they were hacking into the game. So it's like they looked like it was messages from Rockstar, and then they started spawning in KKK and NPCs. It's not funny, and it definitely should not be tolerated. Rockstar did implement a fix that prevented this, you know, after a little bit, but only when it was brought to their attention from, you know, Twitter and people complaining online and stuff. So it's not something that Rockstar actively was trying to like prevent from the onset. With how far technology has come, you'd think there'd be some sort of algorithm in place to prevent stuff like that. But I guess companies are still learning. And then obviously, Call of Duty. Pick a Call of Duty game. There's going to be any chat of Call of Duty. You're instantly going to get like, you know, racial slurs and all this stuff that is in the chat there.
COD lobbies I'm not going to say they started the toxicity, but they made it way more like tolerable, I guess. Like, because growing up, I mean, that's the staple everyone kind of refers to, is a Call of Duty lobby is like the staple thing for something being toxic. So when everyone grew up on that, they were just like, okay, well, that's just kind of, it is what it is. And they were just like, okay with accepting it. And that was the problem. Like, it could have been something like back then where people were like, okay, we should just stop this and say it's unacceptable, but they let it sit there and fester.
Complacency. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So then now it's totally gotten out of control. It's everywhere.
And it's not just hate speech. It has actually gone to the level where it's become criminal. Let's talk about swatting. So the act of actually calling authorities and luring them to someone else's location as a prank. It's actually led to deaths of people who aren't even playing the game. Like 18-year-old Andrew Finch was inadvertently killed by the police in his Kansas home because he was the victim of a swatting prank. And the person who wanted to SWAT, like the person who they were playing Call of Duty with, they wanted to SWAT their house, and a guy gave them just a random address. So this third person who, you know, wasn't even playing the game got involved in it, and all he knew was there was police outside his home, and he's like, "Why? What's going on?" He went outside, and they thought that was an act of aggression, and it ended violently. So it's gotten to a boiling point where it's just like terrible, you know. Mm-hmm. So something needs to change. What do we think is the cause of this behavior?
I think one cause of this behavior is the air of competitiveness. Like, people, ironically enough, like, they take their video games very seriously. Like, even if it's just a casual game, like, people just have this natural urge to win. So obviously, if your teammates aren't doing so hot, you get frustrated, and so you want to take it out on them. And since we're all behind computer screens, it gets so easy to be aggressive without feeling guilt for it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
There's that old gaming meme where it's like, the things you'll never hear a gamer say is, "Oh yeah, they did a good job killing me. They clearly have more skill." Yeah. It's always somebody else's fault. It's never your fault. It's always the connection. It's always your teammate not like being there and helping you or whatever. So yeah, I definitely understand that. I also think desensitization is a big thing there. So Zach had mentioned it's been going on since like the inception of online gaming. So it's something people have just learned to ignore, and like, you know, it's common. It's not a big deal. Let's just move on and let it keep going. So it's just a cycle that keeps repeating. Like, people ignore it, so then more people think it's okay, and then it just keeps going in a cycle, and no one ever does anything about it. So
I think more or less to kind of what like I Can Help does too is like the lack of like education as it's been kind of like going on. Like, as like the cyber community has grown, like cyber bullying and stuff like that has like grown along with it, there's been like a lack of like education on like what's going on, like in the, like, there's a person on the other side of the chat, the mental health that goes along with that, the people who are like on the other, on the receiving end of that. Things like I Can Help are great because like you're speeding that process up, but up until like this point, it's been a difficult thing to combat.
Yeah, it's the Wild West. There's no rules. It's the medium that's just starting to like mature.
Right, like when it's infancy, you're like, it's all going to be a learning process. It's not going to be something that like they would have had nailed down from the start. So it's something we just kind of have to learn by the events that occur.
Another reason I think is there's not enough tools to like stop it. Like, it's very hard to monitor real time chat and, you know, find, you know, phrases or something and like try to block people in real time. It has to be somebody reporting it for that, whatever company is behind monitoring that, to figure that out. Also, the context matters too. So for example, if you're playing, what's that, the game that's, Zach, you like to play, where it's like the different nations and you're fighting,
FIFA.
Civilization, right?
Like Civilization, Age of Empires, Command and Conquer, things.
Yeah.
Like,
so if somebody types "kill the Germans," are they referring to, you know, hate speech, kill all Germans, or are they referring to a German team? So it's kind of hard. Context is important in monitoring this, and it's very hard to do it in real time. So I think that's definitely one of the problems there. And then the last major reason here, people are sneaky. They're going to find ways around a filter no matter what you do. For example, using a 4 instead of an A, or, you know, purposely misspelling word, adding an extra S to shit just so it doesn't get picked up by the filter, adding symbols, you know, there's stuff you can't account for. And you don't want to, like, if you try and make a filter for like everything, even around a certain word, it's going to be too much and you're not going to be able to chat effectively. Another reason I think this stuff gets passed through the filter because people want it to. So they're going to try whatever they can to get it. So yeah, those are kind of the reasons why it's going on. It's been going on for so long. What do you think is the solution? How do we stop this or change the course of gaming to make it more positive?
Well, like what Zach said earlier, education is like a really essential step. This goes for like anything in terms of activism. We have to learn from an early state that these things aren't okay, like especially calling people racial slurs, especially the mental health aspect, as Zach mentioned earlier, because I feel like even though mental health is something that is so prominent on social media nowadays, like it's still not fully hitting the point. Like, everyone is still so severely damaged and depressed because of what goes on online, especially in gaming. So I feel like we do need to, especially, like, educate young men, especially, like, how to be mindful online and to value their own mental health as well as others. Yeah. Especially through I Can Help.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And there's definitely, like, a disconnect because, like, people wouldn't say this in person, but they feel comfortable to say it online because, you know, it doesn't feel like you're communicating with a real person when you're playing a game and, you know, it's just somebody in your ear talking or whatever. It's you also have the anonymity of, like, they can't see me. They don't know me. You know, I can do whatever I want. There's no parents around, basically, is the feeling there. So I definitely think that's what causes it. But if you can teach someone, like, hey, even the interactions online can have severe ramifications on, you know, someone else's mental health, or can cause real world consequences, for example, swatting or whatever. I think it'll definitely be a step in the right direction. There's still going to be people who are just douches no matter what. So that's obviously not going to change. But I feel like if you can get the majority of people, because I do think the majority of people can understand why this is an issue and know that their behavior needs to change. If you can get that majority of people, then those people will start, you know, reporting people that are doing this stuff on purpose. And then you're creating a cycle where it is getting less and less every time around.
And on top of, like, the education stuff too, like, it requires some sort of activism on the part of, like, the, like you're saying, like, the people playing. So, like, Jasmine's point about, like, it being, like, prevalent on social media, especially more recently, like, the things like hashtag, like, Bell Let's Talk, which is, like, a big thing that happens, like, in Canada of like, their mental health, speaking out about it and, like, doing that kind of stuff. It, like, requires activism on the part of the people. And it's easier to, like, retweet something or, like, share something on social media, and then it's a completely different thing to then put it into practice in the real world. So it's like a twofold thing where it's, you need to push it in such a way that people can be active about it in their real lives, as opposed to just, like, feigning that awareness on social media.
I think companies also need to do better. Like, people acknowledge this type of behavior happens on Twitter or whatever, and they make promises to, you know, change it. But there's platforms that have the option to, like, report usernames, or, you know, if you're creating an emblem in Call of Duty or something, they have the ways to actually report it. But it shouldn't get to that point. There should also be filters in place. Like, for example, on Twitch, if you upload a video with a Beatles song or something, like, within a couple of hours, that's going to get flagged and taken down for copyright infringement. Mm-hmm. If you have the tools to do that for copyright infringement, why can't you do that with, like, you know, stuff in Call of Duty, like messaging or, you know, IM or whatever? Like, why is that not better or as good as the copyright infringement tools? Like, that's something I don't understand. And I think companies definitely need to take advantage of, like, this machine learning or whatever to understand how people are using the chat to find out which things that they need to block. Like, there are AI machine learning things that get better with time as more people use them, and they do have the data to do this. So it's something that the companies just need to actually implement and put research and money into, but it's something that's not going to get investment in return, I think. And I think that's the big thing that's stopping companies from doing this. You're putting money into something that's not going to get you money back, technically. So we just need to, I guess, I don't know, shame them into doing it. So.
I agree, especially with Twitter, because there will be, like, a lot of, like, Nazi accounts with, like, a lot of racial slurs and a lot of, like, just crude content, and they will go completely unnoticed, and, like, it'll take days or, like, hours to, like, get them fully off Twitter, like, after reporting them. And, like, I think, like, last week I got a notification saying, hey, your report finally went in, and the report I made was from, like, 2018.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So that's ridiculous. Meanwhile, Twitter loves suspending or banning accounts that will, like, I don't know. I feel like they're targeting the wrong people on Twitter. Like, they need to start, like, the true evil ones.
Well, yeah, because it's just, like, with the copyright infringement stuff, that's just, like, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen. Or it's, like, them avoiding, like, any ramifications that would affect them as a company. So it's just, like, easy to, like, flag those and get rid of them because it directly affects them mm-hmm. as a company or as a social media site or whatever. But like all this hate speech and stuff like that, they're just like, whatever.
That's just another active user, someone who's paying into.
Exactly.
They don't want to remove those, I guess.
Yeah. And I've had this conversation with people too, and they're just like, oh, like, well, you're people who say like accounts that have been suspended or banned, like from like a political nature, let's say. And they'll be like, oh, you're like infringing on like my constitutional rights. And people are like, no, Twitter is a private company. They are allowed to basically police that as they so wish. So they have the power to do those, and they're just essentially choosing not to put those resources there.
Exactly. And then I think the last thing, you know, that could be like a potential solution is we, the gamers, have to call it out. We kind of already talked about this a little bit, but if you do see somebody who's, you know, being inappropriate in chat or, you know, sending messages or something, don't just ignore it. Don't just delete the message and move on. Actually report it. You know, it might take 3 years for that report to go through, but it's still something.
Better late than never, I guess, but like... That's still super late.
Like, we've all been in those, like, Call of Duty matches where it's a little kid who's using these, like, racial slurs or whatever. Yeah. Call them out. Sometimes that's all it takes, like, someone calling them out on it. And because then, you know, they'll be shamed into, like, obviously understanding what they're saying. And, you know, they're probably just repeating something that they heard. And I don't think any four-year-old is filled with hate. At least I hope not.
No one's born like that. That's something you learn.
It also, your four-year-old should not be on Call of Duty. Maybe I went a little too young for that.
Duty. Your four-year-old should be playing Animal Crossing.
Yeah, he's clogging the lobbies.
I remember just playing COD the other day, and I wasn't in the game chat, but I could hear people talking. Like, this kid was, he was like, I'm 9. I'm like, well, you should not be in here. Like, you should not be playing this game.
Especially not be on the game chat. Yeah.
No, like, do not be on game chat. Well, that comes down to parents then, doesn't it? I mean, what the hell's going on? Like,
that's acceptable. Like, Rick, you're about to be a parent. What are you going to do to change this?
Oh, you know, Little Link's going to be playing Zelda all day.
Well, I'm going to kind of do what my mom did. I remember had some friends over. We were playing, I hate to date myself, we were playing Mortal Kombat 3 on the Sega Genesis.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
And one of my friends used a racial slur against Raiden.
Oh and my god.
My mom, being the sweet lady she is, shut that the fuck down.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I think like what we talked about, a lot of it kind of starts at home and like basically how you're brought up. So, you know, like it's easy, especially being from Backwoods, Ohio, like to kind of fall in line with everybody else who has these outdated opinions and views on race and acceptance, and it's kind of good to just rise above that. So I'm going to make sure I can just rise above that. Yeah, there's going to be hate out there, but you do your best to fight it. You know, the hate is Ganon. Get your master sword out and get out of the hate.
There you go. Spit it into a way that they'll understand. And then also share positivity. Like, We've all seen like the Twitter stuff where they're calling out someone for, you know, using a racial slur or whatever, but I think we need more of the positive side of it. So if you see someone who's, you know, helping someone in a game when they don't need to, like there was that, Fall Guys recently had
that was great. Where,
the guy couldn't figure out how to climb. So another player, there was no chat involved. It was just two people in the game, was like jumping and climbing and like trying to help the other person climb up. Like, we need more examples of that, because the more you flood the channels with that, the more people are going to start seeing like there is positivity out there. So I'm just gonna, you know, it's you're gonna, whatever you're exposed to, you know, monkey see, monkey do. If we start trying to add more positive stuff out there, then hopefully that cancels out some of the negative stuff that's out there, and little kids learn that it is better to be positive in this side of it. So I think that's definitely a step we should take. So call out negativity that you see, and then also point out the positive.
Yeah. I feel like sharing and spreading positivity in gaming is like, it's so underrated. Like, I was playing Valorant once, and like, I think I was like the last one on my team that was like alive or something. And then this girl, she won the voice chat. She was like, come on, you can do it. And I was just like, I think about her all the time. I don't know her. I died obviously because I suck Valorant, but I think about it all the time. I was just like, can you imagine if gaming was like that all the time? You just hear everyone just rooting for you. It's just
Definitely.
Well, now you know what we need to do. Now the mission is to find out who this person is.
Yes, where is she?
Find this Valorant person and figure out who they are.
Copy that behavior. Next time you're dead and you're spectating a teammate, don't yell at them and tell them, hey, look behind you or whatever. Give them some positive encouragement.
Yes.
Sometimes there's somebody behind them, though, Pat.
No, no. Sometimes if it's legitimate communication, I think do that. Like,
don't just tell them that there's someone behind them. You can do it, but there is someone coming. They have an AK. But yeah, let's end on a positive note. So I want each of us to come up with a positive story that they've
not come up with it. Share it. Don't just make it up.
find a positive story or an experience from gaming and share it with a group. So I'll start. So there's a little known game called Destiny back in the day. I am 4 years clean and sober of Destiny, but back when I was super, you know, addicted. Into Destiny. Yes, you could say that. I remember the second raid had just come out, which was I'm gonna forget it, but it was the one on the moon, and I had not researched anything into it. It had come out like a couple of days ago. I was working, so I had just like finally gotten the time to play it. Basically, in Destiny, there was no matchmaking at this time, so it was just me inviting random people in the hub that they put you in and then asking them, hey, like, you want to raid? And I found this one guy who's like, yeah, sure. And he's like, you know what? I have like 3 or 4 friends on. We just did the raid, but I can help you do it. And like, he literally, like, it was just me. None of my other friends were on. And he got like 4 other people to like make it 6 and got us through a raid. And I had no idea what was going on, but he was actively teaching me like, hey, this is how this mechanic works or whatever. It took us like 3 hours. And he got no rewards for it because he had already done it. But he still like walked me through it and helped me. And I was the only one getting rewards out of the group of 6 people. But it was like one of the most like positive experiences I've ever had.
It's amazing.
And then, yeah, like my friends got on later and I kind of showed them how to do it as well, because I'd already had experience with it and stuff. But like, it was just, I was blown away because it was just some random that I had messaged. Like, it wasn't a friend that someone I'd played with before. It was literally somebody that they had put in the same hub as me, and like, he was going through his locker or whatever, and I'm like, hey, you want to raid? And he's like, sure, let's do this. So that's definitely something where I'm like, you know, that's never going to happen again, but hopefully it does when people start realizing it is good to be positive. So that's a story that sticks with me. What about Rick? What about you?
All right, mine, hate to do this again, goes back to the early days of Xbox Live. Halo 2 had come out, and Crimson Skies, and I remember like my brothers were out of town on like a ski trip, and like it had just snowed really bad, so I had the day off of school, and like I just remember just being alone with the Xbox for an entire like 3-day weekend and just making a lot of friends. Like, it was just the nicest thing. Okay, I did really good at this round of Halo 2, and I'm like, you know, Call of Duty now, like, people would be like, oh my gosh, you did really well, like, let's become Xbox friends. And I just built this basically community of Xbox friends, and it was just really nice. And I thought that was probably one of the most positive online experiences that I've had in gaming, which is kind of sad considering I've had a lot of bad ones.
Just all downhill from there.
Yeah, like the one time I was when I first got GTA 5 when it first came out, which is also dates me pretty well. I had a female character, and yeah, I didn't have a headset at all, but I got harassed pretty hardcore just golfing in GTA 5 because my character was female. So like, me and my roommate would just turn up the chat and like listen to these people catcalling. And I just kind of wanted to buy a headset and plug it in and be like, hey guys, how's it going? So yeah, I would say early days Xbox, when, you know, everybody was kind of getting into like console online gaming and really lifting each other up and all becoming friends and finding those core base groups of friends that you'll probably never meet in real life, but online you become a little community.
Have you guys seen those stories on Reddit where they're like, we've been playing like games for like 10 years and we finally met up, and like he was the best man at my wedding or whatever. Like, those are insane.
Those are the best stories. I saw something like that on Reddit today. He was like, it was like my Call of Duty friend that I've known for like 7 years came and helped me move my couch or something. I was like, what? That's so random. That's incredible.
Yeah, those are always great. Zach, what's your positive story?
It's weird to think about, like, there's so many. I like to be on, like, the same page as Rick on this, like, the people I've met, kind of, like, more or less through gaming or cementing those relationships, like, through playing video games. I mean, like, to be fair, like, all of us here, like, I met Pat through his cousin, but, like, we kind of cemented that through playing, like, Xbox and stuff like that. I met Rick through doing this podcast. Jasmine, we've met you through this gaming podcast. But, like, yeah, it's, like, a network of people, like, you share the passion of, like, gaming with, whether it's, like, super hardcore, like, super casual. Like, building that network of people is really cool. If you want something more or less specific, a few months ago when I was playing League of Legends, it was, like, me and a couple of my friends, and we were just, like, playing online. We had this, like, random person who joined us, and I was playing on the bot lane, and I had no idea what I was doing. So this guy realized that I was on the bot lane. He could see my level and my hours played. I have, like, no experience playing League of Legends at all. So he picked specifically a support character that's, like, this kind of, like, cat or something that, like, flies on a magic carpet or some pillow or some shit. And it, like, follows you, like, the whole time. And basically, like, every time I was, like, close to doing anything negative, he would, like, jump in and, like, save my life or something as, like, the support character or something. Because I would be, like, I would have such tunnel vision. I'm like, okay, I feel like I can get this part. And I didn't even realize my health was at, like, nothing. And he would, like, siphon health from somewhere else and give it to me. Whoever, I don't know what this champion is called, but it was amazing. And then at the end of the game, you can give, like, medals and awards to people. And he gave me the medal, like, great teammate, fun to play with. I was like, oh my god, that's incredible! Like, I had
no idea.
He made me feel great because I had no idea what I was doing. So it was just like, okay, I didn't piss him off too much, which is good. So I really enjoyed that. I thought that was really nice because they knew that I had, like, never played this game before. So, like, for them to, like, actively, like, pick a character, like, help me through, that was awesome. I really enjoyed that.
And this was, like, no chat or anything?
No, so, like, I was chatting with, like, Sachin and Parth and them, and this guy was not in our Discord or anything at all, or girl. There was no communication at all, but they were savvy enough to, like, understand, like, okay, things are about to hit the fan here, I'm going to save his life.
This guy needs help. He definitely needs my help.
Like, I've dove too deep into the lane. I'm going to give him some buff so he doesn't die. So, yeah, no, that was awesome. That was amazing.
That's nice. Jasmine, what about you?
So, I think, like, a few months ago, I played WoW Classic with my coworkers. I think it was, like, a team building exercise thing. Oh my god, it was so funny. I don't know. It was just, like, a mess, but it was so fun because, like, there was, like, a part in the game where we had to cross this, like, path, but there were just, like, alligators everywhere and you just had to, like, avoid them, but we just all died. Like, like the VP of Allied Esports kept dying and WoW Classic. And then we just saw this, like, random person just, like, walking. We're like, hey, how do we get to, like, this one place? And they just, like, told us, and they, like, hung out with us the whole time. And I don't know why, it was just, like, so hilarious. Just, like, the implications of, like, you're just playing WoW Classic and you see, like, this, like, group of bozos who don't know what they're doing. You just help and tag along. Like, I don't know, I think it was just, like, kind of cute and kind of wholesome how they're just like, yeah, I'll take you there, I'll guide you guys to this place. Yeah. Not knowing that we were just, like, this was, like, a very sad little work team building social.
Co-op games are the best. Those are, yeah, like, the most fun times. Like,
yeah, because, like, in the real world, if that was happening, like, if you guys were lost in New York, I know that's a Home Alone movie.
Yeah, that's Home Alone 2.
That wouldn't be, like, completely out of the ordinary. If you ask somebody for directions, they would help you. But, like, in the virtual world, it's, like, so different because you don't expect anyone else to, like, be that genuinely yeah, nice. So that's definitely a good change of pace.
It was just so casual and, like, refreshing. Yeah. It was so funny.
Yeah. So hopefully we've inspired whoever's listening to be more positive and call out negativity in gaming. Yeah, so Jasmine, where can we find out more about I Can Help?
You can learn more about us at icanhelp.net. Has, like, and everything there.
Nice. Cool. And what can someone do if they want to get involved?
So if they want to get involved, pretty much they can sign up, and it gives you guys, like, a whole curriculum as well as information on how to be more mindful online, just a bunch of courses and stuff. It's just awesome. Just go check it out. I'm not doing it justice. Like,
no, it's fine.
Like, the website itself is just so, like, packed to the brim with, like, everything you need. So that's what all, that's all I can say. Just go to the website.
And if people want to, they can donate or volunteer.
Absolutely. Yeah. They can be an intern. They can volunteer. All of that good stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we will definitely tweet out the links and all that stuff.
We'll put that all on the Twitter page and such.
But awesome. Yeah, that's kind of the whole point of this after school special, if you will, where we just want to, we want to spread the word about a good organization doing a good thing and hopefully inspire everyone to be a little bit more positive.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for listening. Remember, you can catch us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. You can reach us with any questions, comments, concerns, or talk about how everyone can be a little bit more positive at the untitledgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on all our social media. On Twitter, we are at TUGPOD. On Instagram, we are at TUG_POD. On Reddit, we are r/TugPod. And on Facebook, we are the Untitled Gaming Podcast. Check out our Twitch channel at twitch.tv/TugPod. Oh, we also ask that you subscribe and leave us reviews.
5-star reviews for us.
5-star reviews for every other podcast.
Let's go! Yes!
Be positive.
Finally! I have asked for this for so long!
'Oh, come on, man.
You're better than this.
You need
to reach us with any questions, comments, concerns. You know, you could be a cheerleader and like actually support me.
You got this, guys. Let's go.
Thank you. Thank you. Positivity and game.
Believe in yourself, Pat.
Is there someone behind me? No, okay. All right.